Well, this morning we turn our attention to the book of Mark chapter 10 is where we'll be looking this morning. Mark chapter 10. Our pastor is in a series in the book of Mark, and so I asked him when the Lord was laying on my heart this text, I said, is it okay if I preach from Mark 2? I can actually preach this text from another from Luke and from Matthew, but I really want it how Mark expresses it to us. And he said, that's okay, and gave me permission to spend a little time here in Mark with you, in Mark chapter 10. You know, we've just come through the Christmas season, and with Christmas, there's a part of Christmas that we don't like to spend a lot of time really dwelling on. And it's what takes place after the Christ is born. It's that sometime later, when Herod gets wind that another king has been born in his territory and in his jurisdiction, he orders that every child that I believe is 2 or younger, male, be executed in and around the town of Bethlehem. Sometimes referred to as the killing of the innocents. As soldiers storm into Bethlehem, yank infant children from their mother, from their father, from their family, and kill them in the streets on the order of Herod. That is sober reality around this holiday season reminds us in Roman times of the insignificant place that children held. They were seen as contributing nothing to society. They were seen as expendable and usable. They were seen as something that may one day have some worth and some value, but right now, they're just little children. And little children were often neglected. It was not uncommon for a father to tell his wife. We have many written accounts of this throughout history, of a father writing to his wife and saying, if it's a male child, let it live. If it's a female child, cast it out. The reality of the lightness with which life, especially infant and children life, was treated in that day is astounding. But then as we ponder our own time, we don't see that some would have us to believe mankind has evolved to some better state. No, as we look around our world today, we see children viewed in very much the same way. Oh no, we wouldn't have soldiers storming in to kill infants, but many would stand proudly at mothers going and murdering their own children yet in the womb. Is seen as an inconvenience or as not the right time or not with the man I hoped it would be with. Children today are viewed in very similar ways. Many, you can hear people my age, I hear many people talking about the reality that they're not going to have kids now. They're going to push that off till later, till the career, until other things have happened, until they've made enough money, until they bought the house, till something's happened. And there's some wisdom in that. But oftentimes the attitude is, ooh, that seems inconvenient. Let's not go that route. I know many my age who have chosen not to have kids simply because of the inconvenience that they would be upon their life. Children then and now are viewed lightly as objects. Globally, we know children are used and abused. We know around the world there are children who are forced into labor to work for powerful governments or for powerful companies in their areas. And we know also that many children are taken and used in sexual trade. Children are used and abused all around this world. And we could come to no text more profoundly different than how our world views children then and now than Mark chapter 10. Would you stand as we read this text? Mark 10:13. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms. He put his hands on them and he blessed them. You may be seated. As we look at this text, we see Jesus welcoming to himself these little children. And this is somewhat surprising how the disciples respond when these little children begin to come around. Children, when we're talking about little children, we're talking about preschoolers here. You know how I know that? Jesus picks them up. And about first grade, those kids are a little too heavy to just pick up real easily. These are little toddlers that are running around, saying funny words, talking nonsense. They're coming around Jesus, and the parents are bringing them to him. In that time, it was common for parents to bring their children before a teacher to have a blessing put on them. And as the parents start crowding around Jesus with these little kids, the disciples say, "Oh, no, 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 no. Jesus is far too important for them. He has important things to say to adults and to religious people. Move them on, get them aside, push them aside." When Jesus sees this happening, he's angry. He's upset. He's indignant, the text tells us, that this is occurring. It's surprising that the disciples do this, one, because of their Hebrew heritage. We could take time and look throughout the Old Testament and see over and over the place of children is valued under God's sight. Children before God are a gift, a good thing given to his people. We could go and spend time and talk about Hannah, for example, praying, longing to have a child, and God blessing and giving her Samuel, and how she sings in joy and jubilation, echoing Mary's song that she sings when she learns that she will be with child with Christ. In Hebrew culture, children were valued. And we can see something that this cultural environment that the disciples were living in had begun to deeply influence them. That as children crowd around Jesus, their first instinct is the very same instinct of the culture around them to say, "No, no, no. Jesus has more important things to do than to spend time around kids." It would ask us, how deeply is our culture influencing us? How deeply does our culture influence our understanding of children? How deeply is our culture influencing our understanding of relationships, of marriage, of work, of home? Our culture pushes in around us. And we must beware. We must constantly be retuning ourselves to Christ and to His truth and to His Word. We must be marking ourselves to inflow that Scripture into us. And that's why we invite you to read Scripture daily with us in 2017. Because the culture is going to shape us. If we kick it in neutral, we will become like the culture around us. Be reshaped by His Word. That's why we gather every single Sunday. You may sometimes wonder, why do we need to go to church again? And the reality is because we are a forgetful people being pushed and being shaped around us. And we need this to be reattuned to who Christ is and to who we are called to be. It's also surprising the disciples push away the children because just days earlier, Jesus had brought a little child in Mark chapter 9, verse 33. Look what he does. They came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked Jesus, asked the disciples, "What were you arguing about on the road?" You see, they had been walking somewhere, and the disciples no doubt had distanced themselves either ahead or behind Jesus a little ways. And they had argued about something. And Jesus had heard it, but not made an incident of it at the time. And so when they arrived, he asked them, "What were y'all arguing about?" But they kept quiet because on the way, they had argued about who was the greatest. Can you imagine that moment as the disciples kind of look at each other and like, I'm not telling you. Peter, he's kind of the landmark guy. I'm not saying nothing. And nobody answers Jesus because they've been arguing about, hey, who's the best in this group of 12 we got following Jesus? I'm the best. So Jesus calls them out on it. And we're not told that anybody answers Jesus. But Jesus knew exactly what they'd been arguing about. In verse 35, he says, "Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, 'If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last, the servant of all.' And he took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, 'Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me.'" Do you hear what he's saying? He's saying, "Guys, You're arguing about who's the greatest. And I say, hey, where's the kid? There's the kid. You come over here. Come stand here. I want you to welcome these little kids with snot on their nose and stains on their shirts. I want you to welcome them. There's something great in this child. There's something profound that when you welcome this child, you're welcoming something of me and welcoming something of the kingdom of God in your heart. And so just days before, the disciples have heard, welcome the children. And as these kids begin gathering around Jesus, their cultural influence takes over and they go, no, no, no. Get those kids out of here. That kid looks like he's sick. What in the world? And begin to push them away. And Jesus has to remind them yet again, there's something important about children. You see, Jesus was the kind of Lord, the kind of King who wants children around. Jesus wanted children around him, running around, knocking things over, saying silly things to him. Can you imagine Jesus as he picks up one of these kids and he looks him in the face and the kid leans forward and rubs noses with him? That's the kind of Jesus we serve. That's the kind of Christ he was. Sometimes there's this mindset that we can get into and that believers can get into of Jesus was this stern, serious, and somber character, always walking around with something important to do and to say. And yeah, he had important things to do and to say. But it was not with such a sternness that he wouldn't pick up a kid and toss them up in the air and catch them. There's something joyful about our Christ. There's something happy and delightful about our Christ. It's good. It's wonderful. Not only do we notice that Jesus wanted kids around, but that Jesus tells us that children are an important part of God's kingdom. As he said with them earlier and he says with them now, welcoming these children and having the attitude of these children and the heart of these children is essential. It is not optional. Did you catch that in verse 15? I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. In other words, if we don't have a heart of a child, and we're going to talk about what that means in just a moment, but if we don't have a heart of a child, we will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Period. There's not gray area in this text, is there? So he's saying there's something important, something valuable about the place of children. We could realize this statistically. Pollsters tell us that 75% of people who trust in Jesus Christ do so before their 25th birthday. Three quarters of people come to Christ before their 25th birthday. And 50%, half, come to Christ before their 13th birthday. Well, see, that's true. How many of you trusted in Christ before your 25th birthday? About three quarters, right? Do you think there's something important about the place of children in the kingdom of God? Absolutely. God is working in the heart of children. He works in the hearts of you when you were a child. And so this is a reality we need to understand. The most important thing on Sunday may be taking place down the hall as we train up children, as we teach Scripture to children, as we show them the way we ought to live and to walk in this world. Statistics will say more conversions will come there than anywhere else. And that's good. God is at work with children. D.L. Moody once said that in one of his meetings, he reported 2.5 conversions. And someone standing there when he said he had 2.5 conversions looked at him puzzled and asked, do you mean 2 adults and 1 kid? And D.L. Moody responded, no, I mean 2 kids and 1 adult. You see, those children had their whole life to surrender to Christ. That adult only had about half his life to give over. It's a wise observation. When we come to Christ early, we have our whole lives to live for Him. So this is why we invite children into the worship service with us. This is why we encourage and admonish parents and grandparents and great-grandparents to be involved in the life of their children, to be involved in teaching them the truths of Scripture, to make it intentional and make it a vital part of their lives, both in church and outside of church, when you're at home, when you're walking by the way, when you're doing whatever it is that you do. It's important that we raise children up in the faith. So I want to pause here and ask you a couple of application questions as we consider a Christ who wants children around him. And as we see children play an important role in the kingdom of God, I want to first ask you, do you see Jesus like he really was? As someone who loves having the snot-nosed kids around him? The noisy kids around him? The excited kids around him? The messy kids around him? Do you see Jesus in that way? Do you have a heart like Jesus toward children? And toward other outcasts, toward those who are marginalized, toward those who are poor, toward those who are oft overlooked, toward those who are handicapped, toward those who are restricted in mobility. Do you have a heart like Christ does? And finally, I want to say, parents, grandparents, what's your heart toward raising your kids? Are you being intentional to teach them Christ, to give them Christ? But you know, the heart of this text isn't just about Jesus and children. It's about us and our own hearts as well, as adults, isn't it? Because what does he say? Unless we receive the kingdom of God like little children, we will never enter it. So we've got to ask, what is it to have this receiving like a child of the kingdom of God? What does it mean to have this heart and this attitude of a child? It does not mean that we become childish in our way of living. It doesn't mean we become immature and silly and light and trivial. That's not what he's saying. But I think there's something important we need to realize here. You know, we often tell children to act like adults, but when Jesus gets involved, he comes and says, adults, you need to have a little bit more of a heart of children. So he says to us, we need to have the heart of a child. So what does it mean to have a heart of a child? To receive the kingdom like a child? First of all, I think it means that we have a childlike dependency on Christ. Just like a child is completely dependent on its parents, we must be completely dependent on the Lord. A baby, when it's born, cannot feed itself, cannot clothe itself, cannot change itself, cannot move itself, cannot do anything other than make a whole lot of noise. That infant is completely reliant upon its parents. And Jesus invites us to be completely reliant upon Him, trusting Him for everything. We in America are proud of our self-sufficiency. You can go to everywhere I see books nowadays, and there's this kind of subsection that's grown up of kind of the self-sufficient person. You can have self-sufficient farming, a self-sufficient home. You can do it yourself. There's the survival guide genre of books of how to survive the zombie apocalypse, how to survive all this weird stuff and all this kind of thing. But it speaks to our independent nature in America. And that independence makes us willing to set out on a course and to accomplish a lot of great things. But Jesus invites us not to be headstrong, but to be dependent. And relying on Him, to always be turning to Him, to always be asking Him, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? How should I speak? How should I live? How should I act? It's a life of faith. Just as Christ lived. Jesus Himself was dependent on the Father. Over and over He tells us, especially in the book of John, He says, I do nothing that I don't see my Father doing. Over and over, He goes away for times of prayer to pray to His Father. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, He kneels down and says, Lord, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done. Entrusting Himself to a loving Father. That's what we're invited to do. Just like a child entrusts itself by just the nature and reality of its life. Entrusts itself to its parents. So we must entrust ourselves to God. Do you trust yourself to God? Will Tremont Baptist Church in 2017 entrust itself and be dependent and vulnerable before God? Secondly, I think having this attitude of receiving like a little child means that we have something of an excitement, a passion or a zeal for the things of God. The way I know this is because I have kids, and we just had Christmas. And as presents are open and there's exciting things in there, guess what? I get to hear all about it. If you want to experience a little bit of this of yourself, I invite you to speak to Samuel about Pokemon. And you may not even know what Pokemon is. Ask him about his Pokemon cards. And he will tell you all about it, more than you even want to know. And he's excited and he's enthused because it's something he has a passion for, don't you? Yeah. So too we. If we receive the kingdom of Christ like a child, it should be something we should have an excitement for. Not a frivolity that's whipped up and worked up, but a serious excitement and enthusiasm. It should seep out of who we are. If we're in conversation with someone long enough, Jesus should come up naturally. Because we're just going to bring it up. Just like Pokemon's going to come up at some point when you talk to Samuel. Because he's excited about it. So, too, we should have that same zeal and passion as a child would have. So I ask in 2017, will you be marked by a zeal and a passion for our Lord? Will Tremont Baptist Church be marked in this community by a zeal and passion and excitement about Christ, about sharing Him, about living before Him? I pray that we will be. And finally, to have this heart of receiving the kingdom like a child, I think it means we have to have a Christ-like love. A love for God and a love for others that is like Christ's love, that gives, that pours out, that serves, that seeks to give to others, that puts others ahead of ourselves. Christ came, he tells us, not to be served, but to serve. And he gave his life as a ransom for many. That's how Christ came. And those who bear his name today are called and invited to go in the same way. To serve and not to be served. So we're called to be marked by a Christ-like love. A love that will cost us. A love that will be difficult. A love that will require energy and time and money and effort. But a love both for God and for his people in this world. You know, children find their happiness in their parents. Children love to spend time with their parents, even when their parents are sometimes too busy to even slow down and spend the necessary time that child would love to spend with them. But they're just delighted by the opportunity to share life with them and to tell stories to them and to play with them and to be next to them and to snuggle with them and to watch a movie with them and whatever it is. They want to be with their parents. We have whole diseases that stem from some of that. A lot of behavioral issues on the part of children today are a result of that child not having time to spend with their parents because they're largely neglected. Because again, like we said, children are overlooked. And so, I ask you, like a little child, will you delight to spend time with your Father? Will you rejoice to know Him and to talk to Him and to hear from Him and to just spend time with Him this year? Like a little kid wanting to spend time with his parent. Let our love be that kind of love. A love that cherishes and values. A love that just wants to be with God and wants to live with God in all that we do. May we be marked by that love this year. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we begin this new year, set us on a course that, like a little child, we're softened. Lord, as we grow older, we can grow harder. We can grow less enthusiastic. We can grow distant. And so, Lord, as we start this new year, refresh us with a childlike understanding of who you are, with an enthusiasm, with a delight, with an excitement, with a vulnerability before you. Set our hearts aright. Let us not seek the ways of this world of greatness and power, of accomplishment and achievement. But let us seek childlikeness before you. Lord, I pray if there's any today who needs to have their heart broken before you, that they would not push it off, that they would not close the door on you, but they would open themselves to whatever you would do in their hearts, whatever you would do in their lives, whatever you would do in their families. Make us open to that today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.